Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. We're joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, always offers a lot when we have him here at the table, and he's the author of two very popular books. The books do very well, and they're available on Amazon. Arizona Laws 101. This is a handbook for non-lawyers. Don did not write it for the legal community. He wrote it for those, me, the consumer of Arizona laws. And Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know is the other book, both books in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So much confusion about Arizona's abortion laws, but at this point, is it safe to say Arizona law on abortion goes all the way back to a Civil War year, 1864?
Yes, that is a safe statement. There are actually two laws on the books currently, and if you'll permit me a couple mm-hmm. of minutes, I'd like to give you a brief history on both of these. So the first law, as you pointed out, is a Civil War era statute. It was enacted in 1864. That's ARS 133603. That law has never come off the books. It went on the books over 150 years ago and has remained on the books ever since. That law is two sentences in length. Sorry, one.
You want to share it with us?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A person who provides, supplies, or administers to a pregnant woman or procures such woman to take any medicine, drugs, or substance, or uses or employs any instrument or other means whatever, with intent thereby to procure the miscarriage of such woman, unless it is necessary to save her life, shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for not less than 2 years nor more than 5 years. Mm-hmm. That is the statute in its entirety, one sentence. Now, there's an exception for saving the mother's life, mm-hmm. but there are no other exceptions in the statute. So the legislature, more than 150 years ago, enacted 133603, has never been repealed. In 1973, as your listeners know, the U.S. Supreme Court published Roe v. Wade, which essentially said states cannot outlaw abortion. And as a result of Roe v. Wade, right here in Pima County, there was a case called Nelson versus Planned Parenthood. In that case, the plaintiffs asked the court to issue an injunction, in other words, an order prohibiting the enforcement of 133603, the Civil Era statute, the Civil War era statute. And the court granted the request. So in 1973, two things happened. Roe v. Wade was published by the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Pima County Superior Court in Nelson versus Planned Parenthood enjoined the enforcement of the 1864 law. Fast forward to this year, and a lot of things happened. The legislature, during its regular legislative session, enacted or adopted Senate Bill 1164, which is commonly referred to as the 15-week law, right? That bill was signed by Governor Ducey in March. Mm-hmm. It took effect in late September. Under 1164, the statute allows physicians to perform abortions up to 15 weeks. Mm-hmm. But there's an interesting provision in the statute itself, the 2022 statute. And again, if you don't mind, it's just one sentence. It says, this act does not repeal, by implication or otherwise, Section 133603, which, of course, is the 1864
yes.
law.
Yes.
Or any other applicable state law regulating or restricting abortion. So you have this 2022 law, which was signed by the governor in March and took effect late last month, which allows for abortions to be performed up to 15 weeks, but it says specifically it doesn't repeal the 1864 law, which prohibits abortions except to save the life of the mother.
So that would make the 2022 law contrary to the original law that's on the books. And why would the 2022 law even be signed into law?
Well, you make an interesting point. And what a lot of commentators have been noting is that Governor Ducey, and I'm not being critical by any means, but he made several statements about the 2022 law that this is now the law of the state of Arizona. But here's what happened in Pima County last month also. The Pima County Superior Court lifted the injunction that it had issued in 1973, which means that the 1864 law can now be enforced the same as it was prior to Roe v. Wade. So we find ourselves with two statutes, both of which deal with the same subject matter, and they're seemingly inconsistent in terms of their provisions. Now, last week, a lawsuit was filed in Maricopa County Superior Court by the Arizona Medical Association. And this lawsuit is interesting because it goes to the very heart of that issue. This lawsuit wants the judge to harmonize the two statutes. On their face, they're seemingly so inconsistent that nobody can harmonize them. But they make a good argument, I think. What they say is the 1864 law references a person. And as I read it, the first two words are a person.
Yes.
No mention of physician in the statute whatsoever. The 2022 statute references physicians. Says a physician who knowingly or intentionally delivers, a physician, and that term is defined as being somebody who's licensed to practice medicine in the state of Arizona. So the Arizona Medical Association is saying you can harmonize these two statutes by saying the 2022 statute applies to physicians and the 1864 law applies to non-physicians because there's no reference to a doctor or physician in the 1864 law. I don't know where that's going to go, but I do know this. Unless we get some judicial interpretation, there is no clarity currently as to what the law is in the state of Arizona with respect to abortion. It's my understanding that Arizona's abortion providers stopped providing services several weeks ago because of the uncertainty and also the real risk that under the 1864 law, an abortion provider might be prosecuted criminally for violating that statute, which, as we've now discussed, is still on the books.
Wow, we do need clarity. You would think we'd have to get some clarity on this pretty darn soon.
Absolutely. In fact, our attorney general, who spearheaded the effort to have the Pima County Superior Court dissolve the 1973 injunction, went so far as to request the governor to call a special session of the legislature to provide clarity on this issue. And I think the response was, we don't have enough votes to call a special session, so we can't do it that way. So what that means, in my mind at least, is that it's going to have to be done by the courts. And we're going to need a court to either harmonize these two statutes or declare that the 1864 statute is the one that's enforceable, and that is the law of Arizona until it's changed.
Yeah. All right. Quickly, we've got 10 initiatives on the ballot, and I've asked you, from a legal point of view, what are the three that you find that you would like to bring some clarity to for our listeners?
So these ballot measures, which are going to be voted on in just a few weeks, can have the potential to change the legal landscape of the state of Arizona. We discussed three of them last month, mm-hmm. and I've got a couple of more that I think bear just a simple okay. review and summary. Okay, so let's start with Proposition 308. 308 is a legislative referral that would change the way that immigrants who are here without legal status are treated for purposes of in-state tuition and financial aid. And just to provide a brief history on this, in 2006, so that's 16 years ago, the voters of Arizona approved a measure that prohibited essentially anyone who is not a United States citizen, legal resident, or who is otherwise here without lawful immigration status from receiving in-state tuition status and also any financial aid. This proposition will change that if it's passed. It will repeal the 2006 prohibition. And if it's passed, it'll have the effect of allowing any Arizona resident, regardless of immigration status, to be eligible for in-state tuition at state universities and community colleges if, and this is the, mm-hmm. the qualifier, if they graduated from and spent at least 2 years attending an Arizona public or private high school or homeschool equivalent, allowing any Arizona student, regardless of immigration status, to be eligible for state financial aid at state universities and community colleges. Mm-hmm. So the qualifier is 2 years, graduation. And if Prop 308 passes, then all of the students will be treated equally for purposes of determining in-state tuition status and eligibility for financial aid. The other measure that I think is interesting is one to change the Constitution of Arizona. This is Prop 132, mm-hmm. and this also is a legislative referral. And under 132, it would require that any initiative or referendum to approve a tax has to receive 60% of the votes cast to become law. Currently, any initiative or referendum on the ballot requires only a majority. And you'll remember back to the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act.
Yes.
2010, mm-hmm. I believe it mm-hmm. was. That passed by less than 1%. I think it was something like 50.2% to 49.8%. Mm-hmm. Under this proposal, if the initiative or referendum has to do with taxation or to approve a tax, it has to be approved by 60% of the votes cast. So it's increasing what is required to change the law by voter initiative.
All right, Don Luce, going to have to run and leave it right there. Don, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Don's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don Luce, with offices of the Luce Law Group in Tucson and Phoenix.